My name is Bonnie Greiner, and it's an honor to be here. And there are so many great speakers happening during the same time period. I maybe have to question a couple people what you're hoping to learn here to make sure that I give you what you're expecting. What would you most like to leave knowing? Somebody? Perfect marriages, perfect kids. Kids, good, because I'm glad it's not about marriage. That's not my thing. I'm happily married, but all right, I'm going to start with a short prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would be acceptable to you. And Lord, I pray that each person here who has come to learn and to grow, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them personally, to their heart, that this time would be a valuable time to them, that they could use what they've heard. I thank you in your name. Amen. I love yard sales. I get so excited. I can hardly wait for April. So that's when they start, and I live a half hour away from here. And then by October, I'm thinking, oh, there's always next year. And when I see a really, really great yard sale, I start calling all my friends and saying, you have to come to like 86 Campbell Drive. Well, that's what this talk is to me. I've been talking 25 years. I talk mostly to MOPS groups, but also to homeschool groups. And this talk and one of the talks I'm giving tomorrow, it's a life-changing talk. It was life-changing for me. And so I'm so excited that you came, and I believe that you will be blessed. And I'll explain why as I go on. My husband, Nevin, and I farm, I don't know how many miles, 30 minutes by car if you drive slow, in Mannheim. And we met in an unusual situation. I'm not here to talk about that. But we met at Penn State. I'm Jewish from Philadelphia. He was a hog farmer from Mannheim. I had never tasted pork or bacon or anything. And we ended up, shortly before we got married, I was saved. I am now a Christian, a Jewish Christian, whatever that is. And then I moved to his farm because the farm wasn't going to move. So a Philadelphia girl moves to Mannheim on a hog farm, and in 5 years we had 4 sons, and I did not know what I was doing. It was overwhelming. I was in survival mode. Everything was new, newly away from a big city to a town that closes every night. Anybody from Mannheim? Yeah. It's okay though. Go ahead. You won't interrupt anything. And then 4 sons, and life was crazy. And I decided to homeschool, and one of my first families that came, because I decided to, at the same time, to be a homeschool evaluator, because I have a teaching degree, was a family with very intelligent children. In fact, one of their children had a perfect SAT score the second year that I evaluated them. And I could not wait until that family left my living room. I had never met such a disrespectful, arrogant family ever, especially the student that got the perfect SAT score. And when they left, I sat on my sofa and I cried, because that child had been raised right. Parents were deacons, Sunday school, never missed church, everything. You know, if I had written it on a piece of paper, on, if you just showed it in a PowerPoint, you would have said, yes, good. How did that happen? And I said to my husband, I don't want that. I'm going to homeschool, and I'm going to do an excellent job. I'm going to try my best. But I don't want that. How did that happen? And he said, Bonnie, it all becomes a heart issue. Everything's an issue of the heart, and it's character. And I thought to myself, Lord, how do I get there? I feel like I'm barely in survival mode. I know I'm going to discipline my children. My brother and I think we're disciplined very wisely. So I wanted to copy what my parents did, but they were Jewish. They didn't have the Christian values. And I wanted to put Christian values and Christian character in the way I was disciplining my children. And I couldn't find anyone to help me. The older women were missing. It was like they were just vapored. And so I would ask older women at church, and they would, no, I'm not the one. I can't help you. I don't know. So that's why, as an older woman, I decided, and actually one of my sons bought me a domain for Christmas 8 years ago and named it Mom by Example. He happens to be in a demonic-sounding Christian rock group. I have to laugh. That's Grammy-nominated twice, and it's a Christian group. They travel all around the world, and he met a lot of moms and met a lot of kids, and they're just things weren't the way they should be. And he said to me, as I opened this gift and didn't know what a domain was, he said, Mom, I bought you a domain. You're called Mom by Example because I want other moms to know that they can make all the difference in the world to the world that's hurting. He's a drummer for August Burns Red. I should have said that. Okay. And so I thought, wow, what do I do with that? Like, where? He said, Mom, you just post. You just tell. You know, it's all women all around the world. I thought, what do you mean you just post? And so I thought about all of the years of raising our 8 children, 5 sons and 3 daughters. And after I came across that SAT experience, I started keeping notes on what godly character traits I would love to see my children exhibit when they were adults. I pretended that our children are all about 19 to 22 months apart. So I thought, how neat would it be like in 15 years when they're in their early 20s down to like 18, 19-ish, and I met them in the street, how would I love to describe them? And I went backwards. And so that was my goal, and my goal was to get to that goal. And so there was a lot of trial and error, but I came up with a system. That's what I'm gonna teach you today, like 90 miles an hour, okay? I'm sorry there aren't enough seats. I'm really sorry. I have no clout or power here, although this is being recorded. Hello. I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm not saying that mine is the best. I'm not saying anything about this. This is Bonnie Griner, desperate to raise children that are intelligent, that are mostly going to be able. This is my goal. I wanted them to give them the tools they needed to fulfill their destinies in Jesus Christ. And that always involves character. Yes, for some reason, algebra is important. I get that. All 8 of our children are now graduated. Our last one graduated 3 years ago, all from home. And the 8th one just got married, and his sweet newlywed, they were newlywed bride, just got married June 1st, is in the front row. Our youngest son married Bethany. And I will tell you that all 8 children, by the grace of God, love God the way they should be and are fulfilling their destinies in Jesus Christ. And so this system works. I'm going to talk very transparently, and so I'm going to change the names of my children just so you can't, like, stalk them or anything. They all know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to change their names. You know, we all want to be the best parents we can be, and you sitting here shows me that you are for the extra mile. I mean, you are homeschooling. In addition to having a child and all that that entails, you have gone the extra mile and are homeschooling them. So we want to do our best. It's often just the fact that we don't know what that looks like. And in God's sense of humor, every child's different. Like, wouldn't it be great if we just figured out number 1 and then the rest just, yes, it's okay, it's 1A, it's 1B, but it's not that way. And so we sort of have to refigure things. And so as I began this process, and again, I told you I'm going to be transparent. Bonnie Griner is transparent, not always pretty. I really didn't fully understand the value of a child. When I was first raising my 4 sons in the 5 years I had them, they were more of a disturbance to my life. They were more of a distraction. There was more of a, oh, I have to do that again. I just did that. They have to eat again. I just did that. When am I going to be able to go out with girlfriends like all of my single girlfriends are doing? It was that mentality. And so if you downloaded the handout, I'm not going to have time to go over it, and you can still download it anytime. It has verses for everything I'm saying, but I'm not going to take the time now to tell you those verses. So the first step in my process here was to understand the value that children have in God's sight. And there's no mistakes, and there's no oops babies. And you might have a child that's labeled by society. God didn't do that. I'm not against that. I'm not saying that. So God didn't make a mistake. Everyone is fearfully and wonderfully made, and there's a period after that. So if you have a child that's hard to get along with, or you're thinking, whoa, that child has giftings just like everybody else. Sometimes we would want to script what our children would be like. We would like to like get all those marbles together and put these two together and that DNA and this and that. And I'm so glad we don't do that, aren't you? Let's let God do that. So I had to come to that realization first, that every child is important. Does godly character matter? Yes. Have you ever met anyone who's rude, who's disrespectful? Have you ever engaged with them? Have you ever been somewhere maybe in business or in a store and dealt with somebody who was rude to you? That's somebody's son or daughter. I don't want that. We are ambassadors for the Most High God. And as ambassadors, we represent Jesus Christ. And that's what I want my children to do. Not that I'm trying to mold them or change their personality or temperament. It's not about that. It's about their heart. And so as I'm going processing all of this, I'm understanding that it takes training. Our first son was born, and at 6 months old, I could sit him right next to the projector. I could sit him anywhere, and he would carefully flip through paper books, not the kind you chew, the paper books. He would just carefully turn pages. He never touched anything he shouldn't. And I looked at all the other moms whose babies were doing all of the horrible things, and I thought, that's a shame they're not the kind of mom I am, now that I understand so much. And then my second son was born, the drummer for August Burns Red, and he was eating everything and destroying everything. And if he was sitting there, this projector would be in pieces. And so I had to come to the realization that it had nothing to do with me. I had to ask forgiveness for all those bad thoughts I had. And I said to my dear husband, Nevin, I don't know how to discipline children. And he said, Bonnie, there's something I haven't told you. He said, I'm not going to be helping you with that. It's just not me. I can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? And so I'm not bashing him. If we would line up all eight of our children and Nevin and I would be here and you'd ask them their favorite parent, they'd probably say my husband, because he did the raising of children a totally different way. So yes, I was responsible for disciplining our children. He took them on survival weekends when they were 8 years old in the snow in February. Slept on the snow. He's that kind of dad. He's a hands-on dad. So he's a wonderful father, but he didn't feel he could discipline our children. I said, well, could you come up with a plan for me to do it? And he did. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you today. I first had to understand that children are valuable, and I'm not the only one in their lives. And so I want to just share some things that we did as a family that really helped that happen, helped them see role models. The first was, have you heard of Awana? We got them involved in a fabulous church that had a fabulous program called Awana. And from second grade through sixth grade, they memorized chapters and chapters and chapters of the Bible for someone else. It's always good sometimes to have someone else be doing some of that. Second thing we did, and if this is available here, there's four in this series, introduce them to normal kids who have big callings, because every one of our children do. It's called Hero Tales, by Dave and Netta Jackson. In fact, it was a, I shouldn't say this. Hi, you can come in. I don't know if I should say this. I'm not gonna say it. It's available lots of places. Okay, anyway. And one reason I liked it is because I didn't like reading to my children. Sorry, I'm a homeschooling mom. I did it because you have to. But these stories are 1.5 pages. And then there's drawings of each person, and then there's discussion questions. Ladies, and maybe dads too, don't our brains just get so full? Just someone else think for me, please. And this book does. So it goes into the character quality that got that person where they got to. In other words, what did this person do, and how did she get there? And it was through the godly character trait courage. Fabulous book. And then we talked about it. Even to my two-year-olds, their spirits pick up everything. Sammy, look what he did. You could be the next person that ABC, God has a destiny for you that only you can fill. And you start telling your children that. It means everything. Something else that we did, we memorized Bible verses to music. There's CDs everywhere here. It was much easier for me to memorize to music, so that's how I had my children memorize. They store it in their heart. It's the truth. Now, one of the hardest things for me was Bonnie Griner had to role model it. So me yelling at my children not to yell causes yellers. If you are impatient, you will have impatient children. Period. It's the way it is. They're going to do what you do. If you are yelling, you will have a yeller, or you will have someone who's very hurt by it, and they become very quiet and withdrawn. And so I had to role model all these godly character traits. I know I was the one that grew more than my children. And the last thing I learned really quickly, as far as before getting started in this system, was role play. Such a sweet little girls up front here. I have two, one on either side. Do you know what? These precious children want to please us. They want to. They want to more than anything. They want to. And so when they make mistakes or when things happen, they're children and they're childish. Oh, don't answer any questions. But how many people here have not done anything foolish or childish in the last week? And so when children do that, guess what we should do? We should role play. So I'll never forget when my 4-year-old son hit my 3-year-old son in the head with a metal John Deere tractor and it required stitches. You know, anything in the face just seems to be a mess. And so I picked up that 4-year-old. I was so mad. And I said, "Why did you do that?" The stupidest question. Meanwhile, my 3-year-old's crying. And he said, "He took my tractor." You know what? What else would a 4-year-old do? He did what he felt he should do to get it back. He tried to pull it with all his might. It hit his brother's head, and we went for stitches. So when we got back from stitches, and I had calmed down, stopping at Dunkin' Donuts helped, I sat down with both of them to talk to both of them, because you don't take something that's not yours, first of all. And then when that happens to the 4-year-old, what do you do? How do they know? Until we role play. And so, as I told you, my husband came up with a plan. It's a good plan. I'm going to share that with you. First of all, he said, "Bonnie, we need some basics. We need some basic ideas of what's right and wrong." I said, "Yeah, we do. I agree." He said, "And one thing that has to go is your anger," meaning mine. I was such an angry person. He said, "You got to let it go. The Bible clearly says, be angry and sin not, and you don't follow that. You get angry and you yell at our children, and that's got to stop before anything else can happen." I believe in my case, I'm not making excuses, it was generational. I cowered under my dad. I mean, I tried not to be home if my dad was home. I found out later that his dad was the same way. I believe that was a generational thing, and I prayed with our pastor and my husband, and I'm here to say I have not been angry and sin since then. But if you have an anger issue, it needs to be worked on. It's never an okay thing. If you lash out, it's always hurtful, always. That was the first thing my husband shared, and that was really good. And then I came up with this one, and every mom is going to be so in agreement. What do you think about this, mom? Moms. "Oh, please, please, mom, mom, come on, mom, 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 mom." The whining. And so I found a verse in the Bible. I was so thankful. And I sort of added the word whining, but do everything without complaining, arguing, and I added, or whining. And I think I'll be okay. I don't think God will hold that against me. And so we raised our 8 children according to that verse, but guess what? My husband and I couldn't complain or argue either. Why does the Bible say that? What's the atmosphere like in a home where there's complaining, arguing, and whining? My children did not whine. Children will repeat what works. You let them whine, they get their way, because they'll finally make them quiet, they'll keep whining. It's awful. So that's the second thing I took care of right from the beginning. And sometimes I just laughed when they whined. And I finally got to the point, I said, "If you whine, the answer is no. I don't care if you're asking for more broccoli. No, you don't get it if you whine." Where do they pick the best places to whine? At grandma's, at the grocery store, at the bank, with your closest friend. Why? Because we'll do anything, just keep quiet. My husband's plan involved 3 R's. And the 3 R's, and this is all on your notes, the downloadable form. The 3 R's, he said, "Bonnie, this will cover everything." And it was really good. The first was responsible children. I have a whole bunch of papers here. It'd be much too much for me to go through the CHAP organization, but you can take screenshots of them. I have a whole list of chores for every age. If you want to raise responsible children, give them chores. Every mom here is cringing. Oh no, it's gonna take so much longer. They're gonna make a mess. I can't. They run over the vacuum cleaner cord. They blow up the vacuum cleaner. I know, it's awful. But you have to do it. How else are you gonna teach responsibility? Give your children chores, and if you don't, you're robbing them, because they develop confidence in what they're able to learn. They develop confidence in their ability to make a change in the family, because they can do something that helps out. It helps them in so many ways. I know it's awful. I know it's going to take you 10 times as long. I know they're not going to do it your way, and give up on that. If they don't fold towels the way you've always folded towels, and the five generations before you have folded towels, give it up. They're folding the towels. If they're doing their own laundry, which all my children did at age 8, and some of their things are wrinkled because they didn't fold them perfectly or hang them up perfectly, and you're embarrassed at church, fine. Pretend they're not your child. Do whatever you have to do. Okay? They're learning. It's important. So give your children responsibility. By age 8, my children could pretty much do almost anything. Did I ask them to? No, I didn't ask them to. One of my sons had some special needs, and he wanted to help me cook at age 4, and I thought, no, Lord, please. There's got to be an exception to the responsibility clause. He said, Mom, I really want to, and I want to make eggs. Are you all know? You know what I'm going to say. So I'm watching him crack eggs in their shell after a little piece of shell, and I didn't want his fingers in there. That's even worse. And I said, no, Mom, this is me. I was going to take a fork. And so we didn't need to take our calcium for like years after he learned to cook. But he became a really good chef. And he became a different person because he was the cook of the Griners. That's my last name. He was the cook now. He was the chef at 4 years old. It was the first thing he could do that none of his brothers could do. So just try, yeah, did I like eating eggshell? No, it was awful. I often said, you know, I'm not going to eat right now. Then I'd make my own because I'm that kind of mother. So you all have your secret stash too somewhere, I bet. I know. I'm not the only one. The second R, so that's responsible. The second R is responsive. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to say, Nevin, that's an interesting word. Bonnie, are you kidding? I'm not kidding. It means thinking about how someone else is feeling. If you want entitled children, God bless you, don't teach this. Because if you raise responsive children, you will never, ever have an entitled child. And responsive children are joy-filled children because it's the way God knit us together. It's in giving and being servant leaders that we truly feel the love and joy that we're supposed to have. And your children can see that from ages 2, 3 and up. They change. Some of you might be thinking, what does this have to do with homeschooling? Everything. It has everything to do with it. Why are we responsible? Because we have an audience of one. Why are we responsive? Because we have an audience of one. Because we do everything as unto the Lord. It's totally related. So when there's problems with the subject, and often that can cause disrespect with the parent or the supervisor helping them, this helps that tremendously. It's not mom against son, son against father. It's none of that anymore. It's more of an equal playing field because we are all learning godly character. We are all transitioning to be more like Jesus every day. It takes away that just that not always frustration, but the anger that comes with it. We are all in process to fulfill our destinies in Christ. And during the first 18 years, it involves schooling. It's a chapter. And so we live that chapter the same as we'll live the chapter after that, work, marriage. It doesn't change. They don't suddenly need godly character when they're a teenager or when they start their first job. Godly character starts way with these babies in the back and toddlers. Their spirit picks up everything. And so how do you teach children to be responsive? You, mom and dad, stop chewing people up and spitting them out on the way home from church. Did you see what she was wearing? Did you hear what he said? They can't control their kids. You pass the neighbor's house, which is sort of a mess on the outside, and you say, don't they have any respect for the neighborhood? What are you doing? Who are you putting first? Your children will eat that up, and they will start to talk about other kids. They'll start to use that everywhere. That's not what we want. That's not the kind of behavior that we want. We need to turn it around. Show your children that not everyone is as blessed as they are. Make it a point. Open up your home. Have a family at church with the kids that are the wildest. All the while you're thinking they're going to break everything. I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to teach my... You know what? Just do it. I'm embarrassed to say it. I'm just going to say it anyway. So when I invite people to my house, I give you a time. Hey, I'm laughing because I did this even for Father's Day, my own kids. I sent a group message. Hey, we're having lunch for Father's Day from 12 to 1:30. So if the kids from your church are a little bit leery of having over, at least have them over, get them, know them a little bit, and just say, hey, we have a little bit of time this afternoon from 2 to 3. Do you want to come over for some ice cream? Show hospitality. Let your children see real life. Are there any singles in your life that would love to be around a family, feel like they're a part of the family? We open up every holiday to everyone that has nowhere to go, and most of the people that come are singles. They just want to be part of something. Our children will pick up all of that, that hospitality, that love that we can show strangers. If you really, really, really want to have some fun, pray that God bring people to your house. You know what happens? Their car is going to break down in front of your driveway. I know she's shaking her head. No. That's what happens to us. We have people stop in that are lost. I'm the wrong person to come to. When that GPS says, you know, go left or the southwest, I'm thinking, forget it, babe. Just tell me what's the name of the street. Don't give me directions. But people will stop in our house for directions I've never met before. What can I do? Show them hospitality. Let your kids see that. Now, have your children ever worked with someone who's disabled, who's elderly, who has mental issues? Have your children ever walked through hospice and heard the screams of someone that's not going to make it? Introduce them to that. That's real life. Whatever works with your schedule, whatever works with you. So my children growing up, going to nursing homes and working and volunteering at hospice, they're all involved with the elderly. And you know what else happened? So much of this happened despite me. My children know that there's a beginning to life and there's a last breath, and what's in between is really valuable. How did they learn that? They saw 17-year-olds pass at hospice. They saw 40-year-olds pass. They saw 103-year-olds pass. Life is valuable. You don't have to, not everything has to be a sermon. Let them live it. And that's being responsive. One of my children was really shy. It was a daughter. She would never look at anyone in the eyes, ever. She wouldn't let anybody hold her for the first 2 years of her life except for me. And I finally said to the Lord, what is wrong with her? And I didn't hear God, but I felt God say, nothing's wrong with her. She's fearfully and wonderfully made. She's very shy. So I got down to her level, which is also another secret in raising children. Get down to their level eye to eye, or pick them up eye to eye. And I said, Mary, I said, you're shy. God made you that way. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. But everyone deserves respect. That's the next R. And so when someone talks to you, you need to look them in the eye, because everybody matters. Guess what happened after that day? She changed. That simple. I guess she didn't know what to do with it. So she looked people in the eye. She was 2 and a half. She didn't always answer, but she made eye contact. She became responsive. Now, I'm going to say something, and this is going to seem like it doesn't fit in. One of the secrets to my children learning to be responsive was getting rid of their stuff. Sometimes we think that more stuff makes a happier child. More stuff makes a more entitled child. You got to get rid of their stuff. This is such the wrong place to say that. Everything but books. That work? We have too much stuff, parents. it's like a huge toy box. And what do you do with a huge toy box? You throw everything out on the floor and you can't find anything anyway. It's like a big purse. They don't work. Give your things to people that need it. Have a box or a bag in each of your children's bedrooms or closets and say, you know what, Harry? Some children have no toys. It's true. Some children have no books. It's true. In fact, I always check before I speak like this. There are 11 people living in Manheim Borough in their cars. 4 of them are children that were going to school every day using the subway bathroom to get cleaned up. So every year I would check with local Manheim Borough and I would tell my kids, there are kids living in their cars. So in these boxes or bags in each of their closets, if they're not wearing something or they didn't like that toy or they're not using that toy, and it got to the point, what's your best toy? Put it in the box. They started giving their best things away. I'm going to talk about my newest daughter-in-law's husband. One Christmas, we only gave about 1 to 3 gifts, and one year he wanted, I don't know how old he was, he wanted a helicopter. It flies around the room and takes videos. Isn't that weird? Anyway, it really worked. It was a little scary. And it was super expensive for us. It was like $60-some. That's the only toy he got. Guess what he did within a week? He gave it away to a little boy in Sunday school who didn't get anything for Christmas. You know what my first response was? Your speaker. Are you kidding me? Do you know how... Then I had to stop myself. That's so great, Caleb. Wouldn't it be great if we were like that? How often do we give our best dresses to Goodwill? Our children do a lot better job than we do. The last R is respect. Again, don't answer any questions. Do you show your children respect? Do you look them in the eye, and when they see eye to eye, are they seeing love or are they seeing judgment? When you are upset with your children, and I know, I understand that. What's your tone of voice? I was in our house one day, and I was in the bottom floor, and there was a second floor, and I heard a lady talking on the second floor of my house. That was impossible, because the kids and I were all on the main floor, and I kept hearing this lady talk, and being the brave mother that I am, I sent my 8-year-old up. I said, Ben, could you go check what's upstairs? And he said, Mom, it's coming through the baby monitor. And I walked upstairs, and it was our neighbor who was a football field away. I could hear everything she said. Guess what that meant? She could hear everything I had said. And I broke down and cried, because that's when I was angry. Now, why did it take my neighbor hearing me for me to finally change? How ridiculous is that? Jesus hears everything and sees everything. And what about my children? So how do you speak? If there was a trail cam or some kind of recorder in your home, would you show it to your church? Would you be okay with your tone of voice, with the way that you react with your husband, with your wife? Because who are we fooling? It's all part of respect, being responsive, and responsible. I had to learn all of this, and again, it took me longer than it took the kids. One day I was driving, and there were about 4 car seats behind me, and a car pulled out in front of me, and there was nothing behind me. And I did one of these, who do you think you are? There's nobody behind me. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and all the eyeballs were these big eyeballs, like, what happened to Mom? And that quickly, I said to myself, oh, Bonnie's rights were taken away. Somebody, same as a 2-year-old. 2-year-old, what did it matter? Do you react to everything? Are you one of those moms or dads? I was. So if my husband came in late, you told me, you did that. Why'd you do that? We don't do that. Is that you? Does everything bother you? My husband finally said one day, Bonnie, what doesn't bother you? And I said, Nevin, my life is hard. Raising these children, I'm pregnant, I'm sick. He said, I get that. He said, it's a choice. You're still going to be pregnant. You're still going to be sick. You're still going to have a lot of kids. But how you talk is a choice. Teach that to your children, too. Their attitudes are a choice. And I'll get to that in a second. And so as we were growing in this, my husband said, Bonnie, I think we need rules. Yep, we need rules. So he went to the Bible, and he found really great rules. It's nice not to have to come up with them. In fact, I have these for sale at my table. They're a dollar. You don't need to go to my table to buy them. It's Romans 12, 9 to 16. He went to the 12th chapter of Romans, and every rule we could need is already in the Bible. So love must be sincere, hate what's evil, and it goes on and on and on. And so I had a huge poster of this in our dining room, along with another one I'm going to show you. And one day I was outside for just a few minutes, and I came back in, and my almost four-year-old had cut my almost three-year-old's sister's bangs off. And then she cut hers off. So for her sister, she must have gone like this. So there was nothing there. For herself, she couldn't see. And so there's like these little stragglies. I'm glad they had eyeballs. You should have seen what she had to do to find the scissors. And so she had to climb. She had to put up a chair on top of a counter. Anyway, the next day was our once a year Christmas pictures. Yeah. And it actually is our favorite Christmas picture. I say that to say this. So my husband comes in the house after a long day, and he looks at the two girls, and he said, "What happened?" And I said, "Number so-and-so cut number so-and-so's hair." And he said, "Didn't you talk to them about that?" He said, "Isn't that in our family rules?" I said, "Nevin, I don't think that's in Romans 12. That might be in Romans 13. It is not." In other words, the reason I say that is there's not going to be a rule to cover everything. No, I never thought to tell Anya not to cut Serena's hair, and now I've said their names. Soon after that, our white poodle, I walk in the living room, is no longer white. They painted the dog. Again, my husband came in. He said, "Romans 13? I said, "Yeah." I say that because, parents, stuff's going to happen. It's called life, right? It's just going to happen. I have to watch my time. So we came up with non-negotiables after the painted dog. The dog lived. They used food coloring, but it took a long time to come out. This is also available at my table, but it's super easy. It's non-negotiables. Some things are non-negotiable in our home. You don't hurt anyone with words or deeds, period. So if you're about to tell your brother that he looks stupid, that would not be a smart thing to say, and you'll be disciplined for that, because we don't hurt anyone in words or deeds. And then we added to it, we don't hurt anything. If you throw your toy, it's my toy permanently. It's one strike and you're out. If you're going to throw a toy, it must not mean much. I'll give it to somebody who will take care of it. I don't say it like that. I say it with a little more love. But so we came up with non-negotiables. We came up with family rules. And I disciplined our children. We had a list of why. The first thing I'll say, I'm not going to give you the whole list, but one thing that we did was they had to understand that what they did was wrong. A lot of our children don't understand. And so when that four-year-old smacked his brother's head with the tractor, he didn't know that was wrong. I legitimately believe he did not know, out of frustration. So is it willful disobedience? So painting the dog, cutting her sister's bangs, she thought, she was so proud of herself, she showed me. She said, "Look!" So willful disobedience. I'm not going to go into types of disciplining because that's not really why we're here. And I want to end the last few minutes that we have with the actual godly character. First of all, I want you, if your children are 5 years old or older, and if you don't do this, I would love for you to look at the 5 love languages for kids. You could be loving your child till you're blue in the face, and your child might have the perception that you don't love them. It happened in our family. I was doing acts of service, which meant nothing to my son. He said, "You don't love me the way you love the other 3 boys at that time." I said, "What are you talking about?" His love language was words of affirmation, which I was not doing. It's super important. I have another paper you might want to take a screenshot. What do you do with, "You love him more than me. You gave him more than me." I'm, by the way, I purposely gave different amounts of food to people, desserts to people. They want ice cream. I gave a lot of ice cream cones with different amounts of ice cream in the cone on purpose. I didn't look to see who was getting it. I'd hide my back and then say, "Are you thankful?" "Yeah, okay." Some kids got one scoop, some got three, because life isn't fair. Ask your children questions, except not about you. Have someone ask about you. You want to hear your children's heart? Hey, what is the one way that mom can make you feel better? I'm asking someone else's child. What do you love about your mom? What's hard for you? Has your mom ever done anything that hurt you? Because often our children cannot verbalize it, and we don't know what's in their heart. So this is the best list I've ever come up with for asking someone else would ask your children. Okay, you wouldn't be the person. I want to talk quickly. Max Lucado's books are fabulous for young children. It helps. Max Lucado hears the heart of a child. If you have a special needs child, I would strongly suggest The Crippled Lamb. Your child will not be able to verbalize it, but it helps every special needs child. All right, godly character, super quickly. I ended up putting all of my notes into a book. It is available here for $7. You don't need it. I looked up all of the godly character traits, and I came up with 15 that I wanted my children to really learn and become. And an example of what I did, which is a great technique, is I went over one character trait every Monday. So let's say today's Monday, and today is gentleness and kindness. This is in 5 minutes of time. Gathered all my kids, the nursing baby, the toddler, 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old. We would discuss the definition of gentleness and kindness, but then we would go over the opposite because most of the kids were probably doing the opposite. They could better relate to the opposite than the definition. And then we would role play. We would live it out. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I would give stickers when I saw them living it out. And Friday, we would have an award ceremony. I had a list of verses for each of the godly character traits, and if any of them memorized even a phrase or a verse, we would have an award ceremony, which was so silly. They got to climb on top of the kitchen table and make a speech. That was basically it. But I grew also. Do you know what? I only have a couple minutes. No sibling rivalry allowed in our home. Doesn't have to be, because we are gentle and kind. When my children are asked to work, they do it cheerfully and to their best ability. Why? It became a habit. Your children will not rise up one day and say, I think I'm going to choose to be a cheerful and diligent worker. It might happen. It will happen if you talk about it. Talk about it. Every child wants to please you and be more like Jesus. They just don't have the words. They don't know. I didn't know. I was an adult. I was using words I wasn't even aware of. They were like grace. Jews don't talk about grace. It's a name of a great grandma, and that's about all we knew. Once I understood it, I could walk in it. It's the same with your kids, because they will understand through how they're feeling that it's the right way to walk. So you can go to Pinterest. There's lots of ideas on Pinterest as to how to do this. Please start, even with your 2-year-old, your 2-year-old spirit. You say, Bonnie, my 2-year-old's not going to understand the word diligence. I think our 2-year-olds understand a lot more than we think. I talk about it whenever they're showing it. I say, maybe he's crawling across the room, eating everything in sight. Wow, Robert, you so diligently got from here to there, and I don't even need to vacuum. So you say stuff like that. Okay, my booth is 447. If you want to take any screenshots, here's the chore chart. I have a lot of different papers that might bless you, might make your life easier. We have time for just a couple questions. We have 1 minute.
Do you have all those at your booth?
I do, yeah. Any other questions? Again, I'm sorry for those of you that had to sit. I wish there was a room hostess here so that they could maybe make a note. Hey, yes.
So the towel.
Oh, okay, so we know right now how she feels about that. She is upset that I even said that. Go ahead.
No, I'm just curious. What,
okay, I didn't say sloppy. I said different.
Okay.
So sloppy is a little bit different. And, you know, make their beds. Just go to, is Kmart still in existence? Just go on Amazon, thank you, and just get them a cheap comforter to cover their bed. And don't go underneath and check the sheet. If the sheet underneath is a mess, get over it. let's give our kids some grace. As long as the bed looks nice. So the same with the towels. If not every corner matches and it's folded and put away, I say hallelujah. I mean, if they're 10, it's different. If they're 4 and 5, I kiss them, you know, hug them. 13 is a hormone thing. That's a different talk. Okay. All right, thank you.